You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, hello. Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to the First Take. Christine Williamson here for Molly. We got Harry Douglas, Monica McNutt, and Kendrick Perkins all here. Starting off the morning with a bang. HG, I did want you to say the quote that you were going to start the show with.
Yeah, with the cast of characters that we have on First Take today, it's Love Friday, in my opinion. And when you custom made, baby, you don't have to fit in.
Come on, baby. Come on. I love it. Perk, good to see you.
Right,
Monica,
baby.
Obviously, love you. Let's start things off in the association. Last night, my cousin Zion Williamson and CJ McCollum each scored 31 points as New Orleans beat Sacramento 135 to 123, completing a five-game season sweep of the Kings. The Pelicans improved to 27-14 on the road, which is a franchise record for wins and is tied with the best mark in the NBA with the Celtics. Now, following their loss to the Pelicans, the Kings are now locked into a play-in game and find themselves in a three-way tie with the Lakers and Warriors with two games remaining in the regular season. Sacramento holds the tiebreaker amongst those three teams. All right, Monica, I'm going to start with you. Which team needs the eighth seed? Is it the Kings, the Warriors, or the Lakers?
I think it's the Warriors, y'all. I mean, the Warriors, to me, you even heard it in the sound we just ran. Steve Kerr said, we need a little help. I think for them to be in a position to only have to play one game in the play-in is most beneficial. I love the way that they've been able to bring their rookies along, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Brandon Przemski, the onset of Jonathan Kuminga this year. But we've seen a level of exacerbation from Steph Curry that I'm not sure we've seen in the past, right? And so I think every little bit that they can get to make a little bit of noise benefits them. So of those three teams, I think the Warriors need it the most.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Golden State Warriors as well. And Monica, I love that you pointed out those young guys for this team, especially those rooks being able to do what they've been able to do for this team. But, you know, Steph Curry's going to be Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also with Klay Thompson not being at the heights of his game that we so are accustomed to seeing from him, I think the Warriors being able to play one game, right, to get into
exactly.
the playoffs is easier than having to play two.
I'm gonna go with the Sacramento Kings, and this is why we don't have to have the Golden State Warriors in the eighth spot, because look, when you talk about one-offs, right, the teams that are gonna be in the ninth and tenth spot, I trust Golden State and Steph Curry to be able to handle their business with one game. I don't trust the Sacramento Kings. So with that being said, without Malik Monk, they need two bites at the apple. So if they happen to lose the first, you know, play-in game against the seventh seed, if they get the eighth seed, then all of a sudden they get another opportunity at home to face the winner out of the ninth and tenth spot. They need as many opportunities as possible. They've been playing some horrible basketball since the All-Star break. Sabonis, yes, he's been getting his individual numbers, but we really haven't seen that De'Aaron Fox we was expecting to see to take that leap and to be in the conversation with the likes of Luka, the likes of SGA, Anthony Edwards. And so when I look at them missing Malik Monk, who's a huge piece, arguably could have won Sixth Man of the Year, he still might win it. I think they need the eighth spot more than any other team that we're talking about right now.
I think the difference, though, is that you trust the Warriors to win out of that 9-10. I just think if the 9-10 holds and it's the Lakers-Warriors, I don't trust that, Perk.
No, but what I'm saying is, Monica, look, at the end of the day, the West is so stacked, right? We can't really, like, all these teams are good. They're just
right.
in a great conference. But when I'm looking at the Sacramento Kings, well, my point is they need two bites at the apple. Having that eight seed guarantees you two bites at the apple. Right now, they could win the 7-8 matchup right in the play-in tournament. But if they lose it, then they got another shot and they got it at the crib.
Okay, Perk, you mentioned the fact that you trust the Warriors if they end up in a 9 or 10 situation. Do you trust the Lakers? How do you feel about the Lakers? Nobody cares if they make it into the playoffs this season?
Hold on, Christine. I trusted the Warriors out of those three teams, right?
Okay.
When I was, you know, just going back at Monica and Harry.
Uh-huh,
now, when
uh-huh.
it comes to who do I trust more out of the Lakers than the Warriors, I'm going with King James and AD. I mean, listen, when it comes to the size, the athleticism at the wing position and, you know, around the perimeter, the Lakers have that, especially since they put Rui Hachimura in the starting lineup. I love what he's been bringing to the table. Anthony Davis is a one-man show when he's healthy. He's been reliable this whole postseason and arguably one of the best two-way players when it comes down to the big position of how he's embraced that center role. So me watching LeBron and know what he's capable of doing, especially in a one-game series to even get to the playoffs, I trust the Lakers more. Anthony Davis has been amazing, especially since the All-Star break. D'Angelo Russell has been balling. Their defense have turned it up a notch. So when I think about the Lakers, I'm like, man, they have the size, something that the Warriors are lacking and something that you need in the Western Conference in order to make any type of noise.
So, Perk, I get what you're doing. Perk is answering the questions in isolation, which I understand, right?
Okay.
Because am I hearing you right that no matter who ends up in the 9-10, if the Lakers are in it, of the three teams that we just mentioned, you still taking the Lakers?
Yeah, of all the teams that are in the play-in, I'm going with the Lakers. Yeah, absolutely.
So I get what you're saying. But because of what your second statement was, to me, it's imperative that the Warriors get out of that matchup if they can. But I got where you're coming from.
So me, I'm different.
Okay.
I'm going with the Golden State Warriors, right? In the same reasons that you talked about King
James. In 9-10?
Yes, I'm going with the Lakers at 9-10. I'm going with the Lakers. I'm going with the Warriors for the 8 seed.
8 seed,
yeah.
Getting the 8 seed.
Got it. Okay.
Right? Because a guy named Steph Curry and the ability the way he shoots the basketball, I just love that. But also, I like the way the rookies are coming along, and with the emergence of Jonathan Kuminga, what he's been able to do, Trace Jackson Davis, the son of Dale Davis. I think a lot of people need to know that too. I think he's been playing good basketball for this team. I think with the shuffling of the lineups this season for Golden State, I think a lot more guys have been able to show Steve Kerr that they can count on them. And I just, moving forward, I just like the Golden State Warriors. I do.
Okay, Monica, I'm going to ask you this question. Which team do you think should be feared the most, the Warriors or the Lakers? I feel like Perk kind of answered this in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Listen, for me, and look, I am not taking away from the Warriors' ability to rebound this year, right? And I think rebounding as the only indicator of size is just very surface level, right? But the Lakers' ability to defend and their size at multiple positions, and as Perk just pointed out, and Anthony Davis has had a solid season. He's been available. We should give him credit for that. If Anthony Davis continues to play high-level basketball, their size at multiple positions, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the emergence of Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell playing solid basketball. To me, it's the Lakers are the team that you got to work out for. Now, granted, we're talking about 9-10 potentially running to the Nuggets. Like, it stops there for a lot of teams.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the Lakers are the most dangerous.
Now, we do got to give Anthony Davis credit because he's played majority of this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's out right now. I would recommend some rec specs for those of you who don't know what rec specs are.
Nostalgia.
Go back and look at Horace Grant.
He
played for the Bulls, he had on the rec specs, you know what I mean? But my thing is, for all it takes for AD is one swipe, right? And he could be out. I don't think that's favorable for the Lakers. What they did last season, making a Western Conference Finals, it was all about matchups, right? They had the favorable matchups. They went against Memphis where they didn't have Adams, right? Didn't have size. Mm-hmm. They went against the Golden State Warriors at that time, didn't have size. And then they ran into size with Nikola Jokic, and they got swept in the Western Conference Finals. So I don't think we're going to be able to see that again from the Los Angeles Lakers because matchups, in my opinion, was everything on their run last year to the Western Conference Finals.
Retweet. I agree.
And what was the reason that they got to the Western Conference Finals, Harry? Do you know?
Shut up, Perk.
What was the reason why they got to the Western Conference Finals? Do we remember last year? Do we remember that LeBron James was out for majority of the games after the All-Star break, Anthony Davis was arguably the best player in the league the way he was dominating, and then he come back this season. Not only has he been available, but he's been flying under the radar for as the numbers he's been putting up on both both ends of the floor. And when I look at LeBron, look, Father Time or whatever you want to call it, the man's been standing on business, all right? He's been playing at an extremely high level. Look, the deciding factors when it comes down to the Lakers is, what are you going to get out of D'Angelo Russell? Because we saw him take a step back last year in the postseason. And is Austin Reeves going to be Austin him Reeves when they need him to be the most? That's the thing. And also, Darvin Ham walking up and down that sideline. We have some questions about him, his rotations this season. Some of the things, his game calling, things to that nature. He has to elevate his game as well, because a lot of times we forget to look at the matchup of the coaches, right? That matters a lot in today's game. And so Darvin Ham, I'm watching him. He has to elevate his game as well.
Y'all remember when AD used to wear glasses in middle school?
No.
Basketball?
No.
I don't remember. Kirk knows. It looked great. Okay, just go
ahead. And I wasn't trying to be funny.
No, like, no.
If you got those eye issues, you got to throw them rec specs, man.
Listen, that's a big-time branding opportunity, okay?
Listen, Horace Grant did his thing.
And there's elevated rec specs now.
Yeah, they look better than they used to. But he used to do it in middle school. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, let's go to the East. The Knicks fans are very happy. Last night, Jalen Brunson scored 39 points in three quarters as New York beat the Boston Celtics 118-109 and kept up their quest to finish with the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks pulled within a game of the Bucks for second, with each team having two games remaining. Jalen Brown gave his thoughts on what went wrong for the Celtics. Take a listen.
What I would say is that we just got out tough the last two games. We haven't played to our standard, a turn of physicality. The game has shifted a little bit, and it's going to shift even more in the playoffs.
All right, Perk, I'm going to start with you on this. Do you have any concern about the Celtics' toughness?
Hell yeah, I do. Hell yeah, I do. And look, Joe Mazzulla, he could go into post-game interviews, and he could try to downplay it as much as he wants, but the concern level is high. Okay, the word is out about the Boston Celtics. You get into them, you make them uncomfortable, you close out, you pound the offensive glass, you're going to have a shot at beating them. And look, again, the Celtics season start April the 20th. No one is watching the Celtics right now, although they have the best record in the league. They have 60-plus wins. But we want to see what they do when it matters the most. And I'm going to go down and I'm going to point at one particular individual when it comes to the Celtics, Kristaps Porzingis. And yes, I understand he's been phenomenal this season. He's number one in the league in post-ups. I get that. He's done an excellent job of protecting the basket. I get that. But can he hold up throughout a postseason, through 4-7-game series, and help the Celtics hang another banner? Those are the question marks, because he's going to have his battles, whether that's against Joel Embiid, if Giannis comes back. And then when you move on to the Western Conference, we know We predicting that maybe Jokic is going to see him. Like, can Kristaps Porzingis be healthy in 4-7 game series? But right now, the word is out about the Celtics that all you have to do is get into them. All you have to do is make the game close. Don't let them run away with the game, because we know how horrible they've been in late game moments, and especially Jason Tatum, one of the worst in far as closing out games, one of the worst in far as game time or game winning field goals. So at the end of the day, they have a lot of question marks. I understand they've been running through the Eastern Conference. They have the best record in the East, but let's be real. The East is no comparison to what the Western Conference is.
So, Perk, I think you're right to be concerned. My level of concern is not as high when it comes to the Celtics. I just being in the arena last night, the sentiment was, they've clinched. They've been comfortable for a while. They were due for this sort of performance. And the New York Knicks, that's three wins, playing really good basketball, wins versus Milwaukee, Chicago. They were sort of in rhythm. And that's something that they're focused on gearing up toward the playoffs. I agree with you in terms of the Porzingis assessment. But I think this year's team, the addition of Jrue Holiday, who just signed a four-year deal and is going to be in Boston for the foreseeable future, gives them a level of toughness. And frankly, Perk, and when we have the conversation about revving up and the opportunity to start the season strong on April 20th, if they somehow run into Miami, I think that's the biggest opportunity for them to think revenge and want to get back from what happened last year. And so I will say that last night was not a game in which they were intentionally resting guys. They started their starters. Them starters played about 2.5 quarters, I would say. I think when they couldn't close the gap in that third quarter, then Joe Mazzulla waved the white flag, so to speak, and their second unit came in and made a push versus the Knicks' second unit. The best indicator of future success is past success. And so I understand the hesitancy. My level of concern is not as high, because I just think these guys have grown, and I really, really like the addition of Jrue Holiday. And then, too, Perk, Derek White, who was a guy that I know you called a very sneaky addition at the trade deadline 2 years ago, has come along for this group as well.
My concerns when it comes to the Boston Celtics start with shot selection, especially when you're playing against teams that can equal out against you. Now, it's not many of those right now in the NBA, but when you do run up against one, shot selection has killed this team. It did against the Denver Nuggets when they played them twice this season. It happened last year in the playoffs, because the bad shot selection leads to easy points for your opponent.
For sure.
And then also ball movement, right? When the ball gets stagnant in one person's hands and they're going one-on-one so much, I really don't like that when it comes to Boston. They live by the three, die by the three. And then lastly, late game situations. Is that going to come up to creep up on them at some point that doesn't allow them to advance in a series or advance in the manner that they want to and make it an NBA championship? Because for me, for the Celtics, it's championship or bust. It's no, we got to the NBA Finals and we lost it. Man, we got close. No, they've already been there. They was up two games versus the Golden State Warriors. They did not win that series. They've been knocking on the door for a long time. It's time to open that bad boy, and it's time to bring a title back to Boston. Last time that happened, KP was on the staff.
Big Perk.
Excuse me, on the team.
And see, the problem that I have is this, right? Even about the game last night. Oh, they already clinched. Guys probably wasn't fully engaged. They go turn it on. You know, everyone is making excuses. More excuses for the Celtics than a brother going to jail. And that's a problem for me. At the end of the day, this is not a team that is based on winning the Eastern Conference. Harry just talked about this. The Celtics, it's championship or bust. It's no other team in the league that is under the pressure of the Boston, like the Boston Celtics. When it comes down to Jason Tatum, he's under probably the most pressure, in my opinion. Him and Giannis are neck to neck, but when it comes down to the front office and the ownership of the Celtics, they have done everything and more to make sure every single year that Jason Tatum have the necessary pieces around them. We talk about when they went and got Derrick White, what, about 2 years ago. We talk about when they traded for Jrue Holiday this year, traded for Kristaps Porzingis. Now, all of a sudden, everyone has been saying all year long that the Celtics have the best starting five in basketball. With that being said, it's no, oh, you're going to get out of when they get to the Eastern Rebels. No. We're talking about them completing a mission. And then right now, if you're asking me if they face up with the Denver Nuggets in the finals, which possibly could happen, most likely is going to happen, I don't have trust in the Celtics or faith in the Celtics that they could beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series.
because just of their temperament?
It's everything, Monica. Like,
I'm just asking.
People been saying that the Celtics, look, a lot of our colleagues have been saying the Celtics have the best starting five in basketball. But in reality, you know who has the best starting five in basketball? It's the Denver Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
You know who is 0-2 right now against the Nuggets? The Boston Celtics. I mean, when you talk about Jokic and you talk about stopping him, the best player in the league, it's a concern level there. When you look at the physicality that the Nuggets play with, it's a level of concern. When you look at Jamal Murray in the two-man game and what they're capable of doing, it's a level of concern. And when it comes down to being in the clutch, do you trust Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, or do you trust Jamal Murray and Jokic if they match up in the finals? Damn it, I'm going with big fella and Murray.
Okay, that loss snapped a 13-game win streak at home for the Boston Celtics. By the way, the Boston Celtics' last home loss to an Eastern Conference team in the regular season was March 5th, 2023. Do you know who they lost to, Monica?
In the regular season, no.
It was the Knicks.
Oh. It was the Knicks. I'm like, first of all, it's a whole bunch of numbers. I don't know. You're like, I don't know what you just said.
What are you talking about?
Monica, I'm going to ask you this. Are Brunson and the Knicks a legit threat to Boston in the East?
Yes, they are. Of course, I think we're keeping an eye out for Philadelphia if Joel Embiid is healthy. But what Jalen Brunson has been able to do, y'all, it has flown a little bit under the radar since Julius Randle has gone down. And remember, OG Anunoby is recently back, relatively so. But Jalen Brunson kicking it up to averaging 37 points a game when Julius Randle went down. The way that he is able to pace this team, get to his spot, despite seeing taller defenders with tremendous length, quick feet, double teams, he is in such control. And then, right, while I know people might look at this roster and say, oh, there's no other star, the guys that he is playing with are absolute stars in their roles, which is essential to any team's success. Dante DiVincenzo is shooting a basketball at Steph Curry levels this season. Josh Hart, no matter where this team goes, despite being a guy who you can't always anticipate or predict what the stat line might look like, you know it's going to basically say energy in a guy that was all over the floor, willing to defend, willing to rebound, and making the right pass. The emergence of Isaiah Hartenstein as someone who's now looking at the rim that you have to play honestly in the two-man game with Jalen Brunson has been an addition that has helped this team grow. And of course, OG Anunoby, 18-3 when he's on the floor, plus minuses all over the place. And so the guys around Jalen Brunson, while they may not be tremendous shot creators for themselves or others, they are stars in their roles and they play alongside him so well. And so to me, in an Eastern Conference where everybody's navigating something, whether it's injuries, team chemistry, whatever you want to put it on, the Knicks, when they say find a way, they've got guys that are all pulling in the same direction, and I think it's showing. So, yes, they are a legitimate threat to the Celtics.
Monica, I think one of the things a lot of people underestimate when it comes to the New York Knicks, perk you as well, is the fact that you have a Jalen Brunson, a DiVincenzo, a Josh Hart that played together in college,
mm-hmm.
in their chemistry. And how close they are with one another, I think it's really affected this basketball team in a massive way. But now when you talk about a Jalen Brunson, a guy that's 6'2 and under, playing amongst trees, but every time them lights turn on, he has never let you down.
That part.
You're talking about since March, the multiple 30-point games, 40-point games, 60-point games, being able to live up to the billing, being in New York, being in the spotlight. But when them lights shine in the biggest matchups, Jalen Brunson is going to give you everything that you can handle. And then we see how they are on the defensive side of the ball. It was inexcusable, in my opinion, for the Celtics last night to let them out-rebound them and outscore them in the paint. That also lets me know that the Boston Celtics, they rely too much on three-pointers. Mm-hmm. When you have guys that can, you know, create mismatches and you're just constantly shooting these threes, but for the New York Knicks, you better bring your hard hat and your lunch pail.
Come on,
they're
going
to give you minutes of hell every time that you're out there on the basketball
court. Come on now.
You know what's crazy is about 3 weeks ago I was on this show and I said that Jalen Brunson is the best point guard in the league. And I was called everything but a child of God for saying that. And then all of a sudden he started taking his game to another level. And all I keep hearing whether it's on this network or that network, is that, you know, Jalen Brunson, he would never be the, he's not, you know, the Knicks never have the first or second best player on the floor. And every time he goes against another person's favorite player, he comes out victorious in great fashion. So when I'm looking at this Knicks team, what do they have? They have culture and they have an identity on both ends of the floor. When it comes to being a game changer and a game manager, Jalen Brunson is both of those. Whatever you want, he's a closer. Now when you look at the inside with Mitchell Robinson coming in off the bench, Isaiah Hartenstein, what he's able to do, out of even when they try to trap Jalen Brunson and he's getting to that short roll, being able to spray out to corners for the shooters or get that little float action in the middle of the paint. And I can't sing enough praises about OG Anunoby. He's probably the most disrespected player in the game. Matter of fact, he's the best role player in the league. Best 3-and-D guy. What he brings to the table, you cannot replace. It's a reason why Toronto set the bar so high for us, what they wanted for OG. And we're seeing it right now with the effect that he has had on the Knicks since he put on the Knicks uniform.
And I end with this. For me, Jalen Brunson has been the best player in the Eastern Conference this season.
He's averaging 38.5 points in his last eight games, which is the second most in history, trailing only Bernard King.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Russell Wilson is making a new home in Pittsburgh after he signed a one-year deal last month with the Steelers, coming off of a tough two-year stint in Denver. He spent 13 seasons in the NFL and was the second black quarterback to win a Super Bowl when he and the Seahawks defeated the Broncos in Super Bowl 48. Now, he sat down with Essence.com and spoke on the evolution of black quarterbacks in the NFL. He said, quote, "I think about those guys before me, but when I came into the league, there were only a few of us. It was Cam Newton, Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick, myself, and a couple others. For me to be able to go back-to-back Super Bowls and win one of them, I think opened up a lot of doors. Now, you see guys like Patrick Mahomes who won it. It's really just us so far, but there's more to come. I think one of the biggest blessings of my career so far is that I've been fortunate to be able to open up doors for others because of what others did for me." All right, we got Sam Acho joining the party now. Sam, I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you think that Russ should be considered a trailblazer for black quarterbacks in the NFL?
I absolutely do think he should be considered a trailblazer for a couple reasons. Number one, when I first heard this question, I said, okay, Russell Wilson, he's definitely along the line of black quarterbacks who have been trailblazers, right? The first to do many things. But then you go and look up the actual definition of trailblazer. It means the first person to do something, someone who did something first. And Russell Wilson, you talked about being the second black quarterback to win a Super Bowl, but he's the first to appear in multiple Super Bowls, the first black quarterback to appear in multiple Super Bowls. For him, it was back-to-back. And all of a sudden, I think the point he's making is, man, look, I did that, and other guys around me were having success. Then a guy behind me right around the same time that I'm coming in, Patrick Mahomes, he has success. Now, he's the second quarterback, one of only two, to appear in multiple Super Bowls. I think Russell Wilson did pave a way and continue to open up a path for a lot of black quarterbacks to have success in the NFL.
Yeah, for me, I don't view Russell Wilson as a trailblazer, though. For me, that's Doug Williams, right? The first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Also, when I look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he's the first black quarterback to win multiple Super Bowls. And I understand Russell Wilson was able to go to back-to-back, but when I view the definition of trailblazer, like you just mentioned, Acho, it's the first to do something. And I understand he went to back-to-back, but he didn't win back-to-back. When you look at Patrick Mahomes going back-to-back this season, winning three of the last five Super Bowls, that is something that's trailblazing in my opinion, because now we view Patrick Mahomes as being the standard in the National Football League. But when you think about historical black quarterbacks and you have the Randall Cunningham, the Warren Moons, the Steve McNair, the Cam Newtons, the Colin Kaepernick, what he was able to stand up for the whole nine, I look at those guys. Michael Vick. I remember growing up on the south side of Atlanta, and even to this day, man, you look at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and people walk into that stadium with Michael Vick jerseys. When I played with Matt Ryan in Atlanta, people walked in the stadium with Michael Vick jerseys on because it was a part of the culture, and Michael Vick meant a lot to the black community. So that's where I am on the subject. It's nothing against Russell Wilson. He had a phenomenal career, or has had a phenomenal career. But I think when you look at other guys, in particular, when you look at Doug Williams and Patrick Mahomes, those guys stick out to me more so when we talk about trailblazing.
Yeah, I think about this. All the names that you mentioned, I think they are trailblazers in their own right. A guy like Warren Moon, first black quarterback to be enshrined into Canton. That's trailblazing. Michael Vick, the first black quarterback to be drafted first overall. All those names you're mentioning, these are all trailblazers. And I think that Russell Wilson is included in that list of names because, once again, a trailblazer is the person who is the first to do something, right? Russell Wilson was the first black quarterback to appear, not even to say to win, even to appear in multiple Super Bowls, not even back-to-back, but also not only did he appear in multiple, he won one and then went to another one. And then the only other black quarterback to appear in multiple. Why does that even matter to talk about appearing in multiple Super Bowls or winning? It means that, okay, I can actually have success with your leadership, right? Like, because you are leading the helm, leading the way, that's why he's in Pittsburgh right now. I believe I can have success with you. And not only do I believe it, but now I've seen it. I've got a chance to see it firsthand. Oh, wow, because you were part of this team, whether it's the Legion of Boom, Marshawn Lynch, you were part of the team, a huge reason, an integral reason in why not only did we appear in that game, but we won it. And then we did it again. Forget back-to-back, we did it again. No other black quarterback had done that to that time. So he did that, then fast forward, now Patrick Mahomes has not only appeared in multiple, but he also has won multiples. He's a trailblazer as well. But I think, because when I think about it this, I think about Harry, like, there's this lineage, right? There's a long lineage of black quarterbacks who have had success, even at the college level. Maybe guys who didn't get their opportunity, right? Because of, certain people wouldn't, the NFL was like, you're not going to go play quarterback. We think you should go play a different position, right? Whether it was owners or whoever it was. And all of a sudden, you start seeing guys, like you talked about the Warren Moons, the Steve McNairs, the Michael Vicks, guys have success. And then you start seeing guys appear and win Super Bowls. All of a sudden, I think that opens up multiple doors and multiple avenues for NFL ownership, for team GMs, for people who might have been like, man, can a black quarterback have success? I think all those names that we've mentioned, even Kaepernick, right? He appeared in a Super Bowl. All those names that we mentioned are saying, oh, wow, a black quarterback can have success in the NFL and he can do it multiple times. And Russell Wilson, to the term of trailblazing, was the first to do something, and that something was to appear in multiple Super Bowls, not only just to win one.
Good point. I also want to give a shout out to my guy Warren Moon. Right, mm-hmm. I went to the Kentucky yes. Derby last year, and we happened to, you know, be able to talk for a while. Seen him a couple other times. He's come on my radio show, Freddie and Harry. That's 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern time. So that's someone that, man, I grew up watching. I have a lot of cards in my in vaults right now of Warren Moon and a lot of historical people. So I wanted to give Warren Moon a shout out, man. He meant a lot to the game.
Love that. Yes, ultimately, it's great to see black quarterbacks thrive in the NFL. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Steelers. Acho, how do you feel about Russ and the Steelers? Are they a legit threat in the AFC this season?
Absolutely. I think even before... So let's think about Pittsburgh last year, right, with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and trying to figure it out at quarterback. They still got a chance to, with Mike Tomlin and that defense, be a formidable team. Like, that's who Pittsburgh is, with question marks, at least who they have been since Ben Roethlisberger left, with question marks at quarterback. All of a sudden, let's say you get a Russell Wilson who has been like the first 9 years of his career, right, outside of Denver. Let's say you get even the Russell Wilson that you saw in a good chunk of last season, right, the success you saw in that. Let's say he gets a taste of that, a piece of that, an iota of that. All of a sudden, you have that Russell Wilson with that defense, with that coach. I think they're definitely a threat in the AFC. Pittsburgh has been a threat before Russell Wilson was their quarterback. And if you get a Russell Wilson, who I think has the potential of being what he was before and what he was, I mean, you don't have to be, like I said, you don't have to be an MVP caliber per se, but lean on that defense, be a smart decision maker, lead your team, help guys like George Pickens, get them back into the fold. If you have that, all of a sudden, you have a team that, because of their defense already was a threat, now they're even more of a threat because of their quarterback play. And I think that's the reason why Mike Tomlin said, hey, let's go get Russell Wilson. Sitting down with him, knowing that he's been in multiple Super Bowls, he's won one before, he knows what it takes. Yes, let's get this guy on our team to make us not only a threat to win, but to give us even a better chance to win.
Yeah, the Steelers are a football team that went 10-7 last year, and their quarterbacks threw 13 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. I don't even know how that's possible, but their defense is one of the main reasons why they were able to do so. Now, I think they made a trade and traded Deontay Johnson, and they got Dante Jackson back. I thought that was a big move for Pittsburgh because that was an integral need, in my opinion, when it came to their defense, having someone opposite of Joey Porter who had a solid rookie season last year. But when you have a T.J. Watt that's healthy, you definitely have a chance. You're always going to have a chance, but I think for Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, whoever the quarterback is moving forward for this team, I think it's imperative that they take care of the football, right? It's imperative that they don't take unnecessary plays, that you don't have the negative plays amongst your offense that we've seen both Justin Fields and Russell Wilson have throughout the last few years. That's one of the main reasons why I think Mike Tomlin brought him in is because, hey, we've seen these guys be able to do this somewhere else, but we haven't got our hands on them now. And I think Arthur Smith, who I'm very, very high on, I played for Art when I was in Tennessee, and I think he's just a mastermind when it comes to offensive things. I think Arthur Smith is going to be able to unlock this offense too. I think they're going to be more predicated on the run game, in which late in the season last year we've seen Pittsburgh lean a lot more on. I think that's going to be the precipice of their offense. They will draft another receiver. One thing that they've never struggled doing is finding receivers in the draft, whether it be early in the draft or late in the draft. They've always had those. George Pickens, I'm expecting him to have a phenomenal season, way better year than he's had in any year he's been in the NFL moving forward. But the tight ends, Freiermuth, and also, you know, the big boy that they got from Georgia, those guys are going to have to play integral roles because I know Arthur Smith loves his tight ends. They're going to add more pieces on the offensive line. But a team under Mike Tomlin that's never had a losing season with 10-7 with incompetent play at the quarterback position last year, I don't see them not being better and being a threat in the AFC.
And to your point, even being one of the most complete, more complete teams when it comes to offense, defense, special teams in the NFL, right? Now, so you think about this, like even think about Killebrew on special teams, one of the best special teams players in the NFL. Then go to defense. We already talked about T.J. Watt. Haven't mentioned guys like Mika Fitzpatrick, some of the additions they've gotten in free agency as well. And all of a sudden you plug in that quarterback and then you already have the head coach. It definitely makes Pittsburgh an absolute threat in the AFC because of all of the pieces they have when it comes to being a complete team, offense, defense, special teams.
Yeah, TBD to see if Russell ends up starting there in Pittsburgh.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tom Brady hinting at the possibility of returning to the NFL after his second retirement announcement in 2023. Harry, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Tom Brady enjoyed retirement. you gave 23 years to this game, and there were 23 amazing years. You had an extreme amount of ups. You had a tiny bit of downs. You are the GOAT right now. Enjoy retirement, man. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your family. Travel the world. There's no need to come back. You don't have anything else to prove to anyone.
He's also letting the grays kind of come out on the side there. I feel like he used to dye his hair. It's a little gray there.
Some Beijing?
Yeah, that's what they use. All right, Buffalo made some huge offseason cap-saving moves last month, including releasing Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, and Mitch Morse, three players who were cornerstones of the Bills' starting lineup, freeing up roughly $46 million in cap space. Of course, last season in Buffalo, it ended with a heartbreaking loss in the divisional round to the Super Bowl-winning Chiefs. Now, several notable quarterbacks remain in search of their first Super Bowl championship this upcoming season, including the reigning MVP Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, who will be returning from injury, Dak Prescott in the final year of his current Dallas contract, and Josh Allen coming off of his fourth consecutive 40,000-yard passing season. Tom Brady had some thoughts on the Bills quarterback.
Next quarterback to win a Super Bowl that hasn't won yet.
I like Josh Allen a lot. I think he's... I'd pick Josh.
Josh?
Yeah. I like Josh a lot as a guy, as a leader. But, you know, he's got to get past the Chiefs, and that's hard because Patrick's incredible in the way he leads that team.
All right, Sam Acho also here with us. Sam, I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you agree with Tom Brady?
I do. I rock with Tom Brady on this one. As far as the notable quarterbacks who are next in line to win, Josh Allen statistically over the last 6 years, his 6 years in the NFL, has been outstanding. You think about the records that he set when it comes, even in the playoffs, statistically, that's who he's been. And I think about, okay, what's in front of him? What stands in his way? And number one, it is Patrick Mahomes. And number two, you could say, man, it seems as if like this team has lost a lot of weapons. Defensively, lost a lot of foundational pieces. Even offensively, you lose Stephon Diggs. But some of that, I think, can be replaced in certain ways, especially through the draft. Think about how deep of a wide receiver draft class this is. Guys who may be available late in the draft. Guys like Xavier Worthy ran a 4-2-1. Guys like Ladd McConkey from Georgia. I mean, there are places and pieces that can help fill in. And then also, I think about Joe Brady as offensive coordinator. He's who got their offense going again late last season. And Stephon Diggs wasn't as huge a part of that offense late in the season when they got on their winning streak. And so I do think that Josh Allen has the potential to be that next quarterback outside of a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be next in line to win a Super Bowl.
Now, ironically, it's not by surprise, Tom Brady in that piece, he brought up that you have a guy in Patrick Mahomes. And what the last 6 years have told us is that Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be in the AFC Championship game. So we take away one slot. You have an immense amount of number of quarterbacks that are going to be competing for that one other spot. But if I had to pick a guy, I'm going to pick Joe Burrow because that's a guy that I've seen, Tom Brady being one guy that has beaten Patrick Mahomes, the other guy being Joe Burrow. And I just think Joe Burrow coming back this year is going to be phenomenal. T. Higgins is on a contract. Well, franchise tag. He still has to sign that or whatnot. But I just believe in Joe Burrow. I believe in Ja'Marr Chase. I like their underrated signing tight end-wise and Mike Gesicki. I think that defense is going to be better this season than they were last year, another year of growth that they had in 2023. But Joe Burrow is a guy I actually seen it happen, right? I seen him beat Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game before they failed to Matthew Stafford and the Rams in the Super Bowl. I haven't seen that when it comes to Josh Allen. When it comes to Josh Allen, I seen Joe Burrow go to Buffalo and beat him. I see Josh Allen have the best opportunity to dethrone the Patrick Mahomes last season at home when they had that playoff game that I actually attended. And just hearing those Buffalo fans and how deflated they were, understanding that that was their greatest chance and not coming away with a victory to play in another AFC Championship game, that was pretty sad to see for that fan base. So I'm gonna go with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think two things. One, I think about you talking about that was their greatest opportunity. I don't know if that was a Bills' greatest opportunity. I think Josh Allen, you talk about people in Super Bowl windows, I feel like he is the Super Bowl window when you have someone as talented as him. We've seen other quarterbacks lose receivers and still have success. I mean, we've seen that happen. Okay, you say Patrick Mahomes, he's the guy who did it, but it's happened before, and Josh Allen does have that caliber of talent, number one. And number two, the only reason I would argue against Joe Burrow definitely talented and one of the top quarterbacks as well, but that injury history is one thing that you have to kind of account for, right? When you think about, okay, who can do it? Last year, Joe Burrow missed time. Rookie year, year, Joe Burrow missed time. When he's healthy, boom, no question. But that's the one thing you have to figure out. I was talking to guys who play with Joe Burrow. It's like, man, the one thing he's got to get is got to figure out that injury deal. And so for me, I think that's the only deterrent of saying, okay, will Joe Burrow be the next guy to win? He's got to be healthy. When he's not healthy, the Bengals don't have an opportunity.
Well, here's what I do know. Of the four times that Josh Allen has played either Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, he's 0-4. He has that goose egg in the win column.
Okay, HG, you said that the Bills' greatest opportunity to win the Super Bowl was last season. Do you feel like the championship window for Allen in the Super Bowl is closed?
Well, as long as Josh Allen is there, it's going to be open, in my opinion. Now, it's holding on by a shoestring. It's very, very thin because of you have the arrival of a C.J. Stroud. We don't know in this quarterback class who's going to come out and be a threat for their team moving forward as well. I just think you have Aaron Rodgers coming back. It's so much competitive now. But I do believe when it comes to the Buffalo Bills and their football team, they're going to draft a receiver, y'all. And let's not get gung-ho over the first round. I think they're going to take a guy in the first round. But when you have a Puka Nacua who did what he did last year and was taken in the fifth round, you have a Tank Dell that was taken in the third round and what he meant to the Houston Texans. That A.J. Brown, a lot of people don't even remember A.J. Brown was taken by the Tennessee Titans in the second round. You're going to be able to find wide receivers, and I think the Bills are going to draft two of those. But also, we've seen Buffalo under Joe Brady as an offensive coordinator. We've seen that offense have an identity shift, right? Under their previous offensive coordinator, they were averaging 116 rushing yards per game. With Joe Brady, 156. They also rushed the ball 10 more times per game under Joe Brady. So I think you're going to see a lot more 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. I think Dalton Kincaid is going to be a huge part of their offense. But also James Cook, not just rushing the football, but in the pass game. And whatever rookie or rookies that they take in the draft at the wide receiver position, they're going to acclimate those guys and get them up to speed very, very quickly.
And to your point, you talked about Joe Brady and his importance to this team. That's when they went on their, what is it, a 6-7 game winning streak to end the season. They were on the fringes of maybe making the playoffs, maybe not making the playoffs. They make that offensive coordinator switch, right? Ken Dorsey gets relieved of his duties. Joe Brady comes in. All of a sudden, the offensive identity changes, and they start seeing success. Well, now Joe Brady is no longer the interim offensive coordinator. He's the full-time offensive coordinator, got the promotion. And so that kind of success that you saw late in the season, I think another year in that offense, understanding Joe Brady and what he's trying to do, and he understands his players more. That'll actually give this team, the Bills, an even better opportunity of saying, hey, let's dial in on who we are, figure out who we have to beat. I get we're 0-4 against Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people are 0-whatever against Patrick Mahomes. But I think that that's going to give them even a greater opportunity with this draft class, with Joe Brady, with Josh Allen. Talk about those rushing yards, taking some of the pressure off of him. All of a sudden, the defense is now, I would say, the only question. But all of a sudden, now they'll have the success you're looking for offensively.
Yeah, just a reminder that the Bills lost to the Chiefs 3 of the last 4 playoffs.